Hi, this is Elizabeth Smith McCrossin, here to provide you with my weekly constituency update for Cumberland North. Today is Monday, July the 10th, and my mission as your MLA for Cumberland North is to represent you, the people of Cumberland North. I'm an independent MLA, meaning I work for you, the people, with a foundation in the principles of democracy, building on a foundation that is truth and justice, determination and dedication, honesty, being a servant leader, and empowering all people. Together, you and I can build stronger communities using the strength of our veterans and standing firm with the four pillars of excellence in healthcare, affordability, our children and their education, and our economy and entrepreneurs. Other work that I work on regularly is centered around maritime collaboration, the isthmus, the protection of the Chignecto Isthmus, as well as truth and justice for sexual assault and family violence survivors. These priorities are in line with my vision for a positive, more vibrant community here in Cumberland North. Last week was a busy week here in Cumberland North, especially this past weekend. The Bordertown Biker Bash was held here in Amherst over the weekend. The Tidnish Festival was held in Tidnish on Saturday and Sunday. And an outdoor dance party was held in Wallace at the ball fields on Saturday night. While at the Amherst Legion, there was a band that played ABBA all night long. Lots was happening as well next door in Cumberland South, including on Sunday, an event in Manudi. Tourism is a very important part of our economy, our culture, as well as our economy. And in the last week, I've started some social media posts promoting some of our points of interest. If you happen to see these posts that I'm creating around all of our beautiful provincial parks, our businesses and tourism opportunities from Malagash here to Amherst at the border, please share them as well. And I encourage you also to share pictures of your own events and activities in an effort to promote our area in a positive way. I look at my job as MLA for Cumberland North as an opportunity to grow and build our area. I often look at Cumberland North as a business opportunity, just as I did when I had my various businesses. I had four businesses over a period of 20 years, and I absolutely loved to take an idea and grow and build it. And that's what I see. I see these opportunities here in Cumberland North, both with other entrepreneurs and other business opportunities. And there's nothing better that I love than seeing growth and positivity. So let's do that together for tourism as our area. Now, as a legislator, as the MLA, I also obviously am looking for ways to improve our area through legislation and public policy. And of course, the good old fashioned way, which is building relationships, working as a team, working collaboratively, who are also looking for the same thing. The challenge that I often face is that the team with whom I should be working are not always willing teammates. It seems that the culture of politics is often this way, but I also sometimes see it here in our communities. If there's certain changes that need to be made in an area, or if somebody in the community has an idea of how to improve things, sometimes people aren't always open to these new ideas. So my approach is always look for open doors, look for willing partners who also want the same thing, want the best for our area, and are willing to be open to new ideas and new opportunities. One of the types of thinking that keeps us small in our area is in our personal lives, as well as a community, as well as a region, is when we think that we are the only ones that can do something to make something better. So when others have good ideas around us and want to try something different, what is their reaction? Is it protectionary? Is it, quote, we are doing a good enough job, end quote, or, quote, this is our area of community and professional work, end quote. And sometimes there can be an unwillingness to see better ways, bigger results, or better improvements if someone else is involved. Of course, this type of thinking is as old as time itself. It's human nature. But What if we were to be able to be more altruistic and move past these basic human nature traits, be more open-minded and less narcissistic, and be open to other people's ideas? What if we would be all better off and stronger if we allowed other people's ideas into the fray? Well, I believe this is exactly what we need. I believe this is exactly where the gem lies, where the diamond lies. This is exactly where we will find success. So just as I will be continuing to keep my eye on the goals that I believe will improve our area, I am always looking for willing partners who want the same. I encourage you to do the same as well. If you have ideas and believe in ways that we can make improvements here in our area, find partners who are also willing to work with you and make those things happen. Don't take no for an answer. Find ways to push through some of those barriers. And when one door closes, look for another one that is open and let your light shine and let your ideas shine. That is where the beauty lies, and that is where our community will grow and prosper. So let's talk about a few of the items that I worked on last week as your MLA for Cumberland North. So a lot of my work is, I would call, reactionary work. So it's me responding to constituency work when people call my office, email my office, or send me a message through my MLA Facebook page. And a lot of people are contacting me each and every day. In fact, right now I have probably about 50 open cases of people that I'm working with. I'm actively trying to get them results. It could be on any issue, but I would say 80 to 90% of the work that I do is in healthcare. People contacting me looking for help because they don't have access to a family doctor, or they have a loved one that needs psychiatric care and they can't get in, or they are having difficulties with the lab, or there's so many various healthcare issues that people are contacting me with, mostly from Cumberland North, but I would say, actually, that's not entirely true. So about 40% are from Cumberland North, and 60% are actually from Cumberland South and a few other areas of the province. So I have people contacting me from all over asking for help. And my staff and I are, you know, we're more than willing to do everything we can to anyone that contacts us. So healthcare right now is mainly being dominated, the work that I'm doing is mainly being dominated by people that do not have access to primary basic health care. So there's thousands of people in our communities without a family doctor, and they simply can't get the care that they need by attending an emergency department. And there's one person in particular that is really having a difficult time, and they're really sick. And between going to an emergency department or a walk-in clinic in the city, or going to a pharmacy clinic, all of these pieces of the puzzle are being done, diagnostic tests, lab work, but there's no one family physician or nurse practitioner that's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together for that patient. And this is wherein the problem lies, especially when someone is really going through an acute and or chronic illness or flare-up. So there's so much work to be done. There are some community groups right now that I'm in active conversations with on some ideas on how to get more family physicians here, both in the village of Pugwash as well as in the town of Amherst. And I will update you on that as I'm able. Nova Scotia Health recently stopped using nurse practitioners in the emergency department on weekends. I'm really surprised by this decision, as the summer is the busiest time of the year for emergency departments due to the increase in tourism and other physicians taking summer vacation. So I will be looking into that this week, the reasoning behind stopping the nurse practitioner shifts in our emergency department at Cumberland Regional on weekends. Emergency ambulance services are still on the agenda for myself. I'm still receiving complaints from local citizens about lack of availability of ambulance during emergencies, and I will continue pushing for the province to make improvements on this area and look forward to being in the legislature this fall to be able to address it in the legislature. Last week, I also drew attention to an issue that affects many nurses throughout the province, but especially affects the nurses here in Cumberland County, and that is the fact that student loan forgiveness is being offered to nurses who study nursing in Nova Scotia. But if a nurse lives here in Nova Scotia, works here in Nova Scotia, but did their studies to become a nurse outside of the province, they are not eligible for the Nova Scotia Student Loan Forgiveness Program. And I believe that's discrimination against the nurses that live in Cumberland County, because many of them study to become a nurse in neighboring New Brunswick because of the proximity. If you want to become a registered nurse, there's absolutely no opportunity to do so in the northern zone. So that means if you want to become a registered nurse in Cumberland County or in Colchester or Pictou counties, you have to relocate to Halifax, St. Evex, Sydney, or Yarmouth, or you could drive 40 minutes and go to Moncton. So that is what many people do, because that just makes the most sense. Also, the LPN program, there is one in Amherst through the Nova Scotia Community College. However, there's a very long wait time because it's such a popular program. So often people are waiting 3 years on a wait list to get into the LPN program. Therefore, a lot of people choose to go to Olton's College in Moncton because they can get in within a matter of months. So I've been contacted by several nurses who lived in Cumberland County during the whole time they studied to become a nurse, and they are now working here or want to work here in Cumberland County, but are not eligible for the Nova Scotia Student Loan Forgiveness Program. And I believe this is wrong, and have asked the minister responsible, who is Minister the Honorable Brian Wong. I've been contacting him on a few occasions about this issue, and if it doesn't get resolved, I will continue to work on this in the fall session of the legislature. So if you know of a nurse, ask them if they had their Nova Scotia student loan forgiveness or student loan forgiven. Now, if a student applies for a student loan and is successful in getting one, there's two portions of a student loan that are repayable. One is a Canada student loan and the other is Nova Scotia student loan. So right now in Canada, any nurse or family physician can get their student loans forgiven if they locate and get hired in a rural part of Canada. And Cumberland County would be designated as rural part of Canada. So any nurse or family physician that relocates to Cumberland County and Nova Scotia, or a rural area of Nova Scotia, can get their student loan forgiven, their Canada portion. They can also get their Nova Scotia portion forgiven, but only if they study in Nova Scotia. So that is the difference. So that is an issue that I'm working on as well. In other issues that are non-healthcare related, Hurricane Fiona, the damage caused by Hurricane Fiona, is still a topic that comes up every week in my constituency. I have several people contacting me from around the province that have applied for funding for to get things repaired after Hurricane Fiona, and they still haven't received the money. Now, I'm privy to know that there are millions of dollars, federal dollars, still sitting untouched, unused. So if you're looking for funding, don't give up. Call my office if you need help with that, and we can put you in touch with the right people to get that money for repairs from Hurricane Fiona. The protection of the Chignecto Isthmus is a topic that I continue to work on each and every week. Most recently, I've been working with neighboring MLA, Megan Mitten, who is the MLA right across the border in the Sackville area. And we are putting out a press release today addressing both provincial governments and the federal government to get this work done urgently. Last week, I did a fair amount of work on local roads and met with our area manager to discuss the needs. I'm happy to say that there was some work done, some chip seal, some paving done in the Malagash area, as well as the Howards Bridge. It continues to be worked on, and they should have that completed in September. The Abateau Road work is near completion, and the area manager is telling me that should open up very soon. Nova Scotia Power had a community engagement meeting last week in the town of Amherst, as well as in Wentworth and Oxford, and the meeting was about the proposed new transmission line. It will run from Onslow, Nova Scotia to Salisbury, New Brunswick, and it will parallel the north side of the existing 345 kilovolt line. The average elevation in Nova Scotia is 59 meters above sea level, while this area has many peaks over 350 meters high. The very high altitudes in this area contribute to the accelerated buildup of ice, which can create damage to power lines. So the new line would be up to four times stronger and further support the reliable supply of power to the two Nova Scotia Power customers, to us in Cumberland County in particular. The proposed new transmission line would be built close to the existing structures and is about 160 kilometers in length. Now, the topic of energy is controversial, especially right now where we are paying higher gas prices here in the province of Nova Scotia. Each government, whether it's federal or provincial, has put in legislation to lower carbon emissions, or that's the goal. And it costs industry money to do so, whether it's an oil refinery or whether it's our utilities such as Nova Scotia Power. The federal government legislated a carbon tax, which here in Nova Scotia we're seeing the highest increase in the province, or rather in the country, of gas and diesel prices. Now, this is because the former provincial government here in Nova Scotia had negotiated a cap and trade deal with the feds, similar to Quebec. Quebec continues with their cap and trade, but the current government here in Nova Scotia did not continue with a cap and trade, and therefore the feds put in their own carbon tax here starting July the 1st. Similarly, the province here in Nova Scotia has legislation in place to reduce carbon emissions on an expedited basis to mitigate potential climate impacts. The 2030 environmental policy targets is what is behind the current work of Nova Scotia Power and these new transmission lines. The new and strengthened transmission lines with our neighbors in New Brunswick and Quebec would support the reliable power supply for Nova Scotians, as well as further develop clean energy in Nova Scotia, such as hydrogen and wind. Now, some of you may have heard this is controversial right now. It's referred to as the Atlantic Loop. Currently here in Nova Scotia, our energy comes 43% from coal and pet coke, as well as 34% renewables, and 6% imports, and 17% natural gas and oil. The federal and provincial legislation requires all energy to be 80% renewable by 2030. Interesting that at the meeting that Nova Scotia Power had last week, the community engagement meeting, it was right in the same building as my office, so I was able to slip over and talk to people throughout the day. Many people that came in to speak with the staff of Nova Scotia Power wanted to talk about the risks of flooding with the Chignecto Isthmus and the concerns about possible damage, not only to Trans-Canada Highway and CN Rail, but also to utility infrastructure such as theirs, as well as telecommunications such as Rogers for our internet. It was a very interesting meeting and grateful for them to come to our communities for this engagement session. This Week in Politics is lining up to be a very busy day, and today I'm actually off to a family funeral, but we'll be working behind the scenes with my neighboring partner Megan Mitten on some issues around the Chignecto Isthmus. My office will be open all summer. My office hours in Amherst are 8:30 to 4:30. My staff normally take lunch between 11:45 and 12:45. However, there are some days that they may be off-site working with me. I call it in the field working. So it's always a good idea to call first. My phone number again is 902-661-2288. You can always email me as well. It's elizabeth.smith-macrossan@novascotia.ca. I was out and about last week and I had someone stop me and say, "You're not in your office very often." And I laughed and I said, "No, I'm not. Actually, I'm really not a sit in the office kind of person waiting for things to happen." So I'm usually out and about. If I don't have booked appointments in my office, I'm usually out meeting with people either in their home or in the community. And I love being out engaging with people and being on the job. So always call my office first if you're looking to speak with me. Again, it's 902-661-2288. I also have a legislative office in Pugwash and often meet constituents from that area at the Pugwash office as well. The office is located inside the Village Hall on Water Street. So if anyone's listening from the Malagash, Wallace, Pugwash, Port Howe area that would like to meet with me in person, you can also call the same phone number and my staff will schedule an appointment for me to see you in the Pugwash office. I'd love to do that. It's like the most beautiful place to work in the summer, overlooking the Pugwash Harbor. So again, the phone number is 902-661-2288. I would like to extend birthday greetings to anyone who is celebrating this week, as well as anyone who's celebrating an anniversary. Today, Monday, July the 10th, is Nicole Kiever's birthday, and as well as Adrian Van Valpen's. Tuesday, July the 11th, it's Julia Dickey and Caitlin Wheaton's birthday. On Wednesday, July the 12th, Terry Godfrey and Joanne Trenum's birthday. Thursday, July the 13th, Elizabeth Mitchell and Kelly Thompson are celebrating. Friday, July 14th, Marilyn Cameron of Port Howe, as well as James Hand of CFTA 107.9 are celebrating birthdays. And on Saturday, July the 15th, Tim Fahey, Allison White, and Andrew Wallace are celebrating. You'll have to stop in to Tim's barbershop and say a happy birthday to him this week if you have a chance. I would like to extend my sympathies to anyone who has lost a loved one recently, including the family and friends of Robert Jimmy Grant, Garrett Ibbotson, Wallace Greeno. And Wallace Greeno was 100 years old. I remember in my younger days growing up in the community of Linden, attending bluegrass festivals and listening to Wallace play and sing. He will be missed by his family and friends. I also want to mention the passing of Wiley Seaman, who I also knew growing up in Linden in my younger days as well. So sending my sympathies to all the family and friends of those who have recently passed. And if you have lost a loved one, someone I haven't mentioned, please accept my condolences. I would like to extend my gratitude to everyone at CFTA 107.9, especially Mr. James Hand and Mr. Ron Bickle for providing me with this opportunity and support to share with you my weekly constituency update. I hope you all have a great week. Embrace this sunshine. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of rain, and I laughed, some people were complaining about the rain. I said, well, you know, God answers prayers. And when we had all those wildfires here in our province, we had a lot of people praying for rain. So I guess we had our prayers answered. But now we have some sunshine to enjoy. Please get out, get some good vitamin D, take care of your body, your mind, and your spirit, and always look for ways to reach out and help and serve others in your neighborhood and in our communities. Take care and have a great week.